Okay, it's me again. You guys may not be so happy after this one. We're going to talk about membership today. It's amazing what happens when you talk about church membership, how that makes people. We mentioned it like a year ago in a meeting, and I had like a number of phone calls that week from dudes and like meetings from guys that week. They're like, what do you mean membership? You know, everyone, like when you say the word membership, everyone's like, whoa, we're like going off the road now. And so the Bible teaches about church membership, and we're going through 1 Corinthians, so I want you to go there. We're in chapter 12. We're going to take the back half of that chapter, and a lot of people like to say church membership isn't biblical. It's actually very biblical. Church membership is all over the Bible, and it's most prominent in this back half of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we're going to do what we've been doing, which is crawling through the book of Corinthians. I'm not going to do really like an exposition on this like we usually do. Usually we'll kind of systematically move through and dissect each verse. We're not going to do that. This is pretty simple the way that that Paul has written the second half of this. He's used a very simple analogy so that we can know exactly what he's talking about when it comes to church membership in the body of Christ. But this isn't that whole section where usually spiritual gifts are the thing that get all the attention and the focus. And indeed, spiritual gifts are part of what Paul is talking about here. But I'm going to come at this part from a different angle, which is speaking specifically to the body of Christ and being a member of the body of Christ. A lot of you have wondered and asked over the years, where are you guys with church membership? How do you do church membership? Well, hopefully this will clarify that for you. And then if the preacher can do this quickly and then shut his mouth, we're going to actually sit down with all three of us pastors, and we'll do another open Q&A at the end, so that any questions you guys might have about this, we can go ahead and clarify, and hopefully we'll all walk out of here with a better understanding of biblical membership. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just going to read the second half of this starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Paul had a sense of humor. Many people think he didn't. That's a funny statement. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, you can all giggle, are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second gifts of prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer to that? The obvious answer, no, right? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you yet still a more excellent way, which is what? Love, which comes next, right? We won't hit that this time. We'll hit it next. There was a book that was given to me by Dawn Laval, a very good book, actually. She handed it to me about a year ago, and it's a good book because it's like 30 pages. It's like super small, and so to me, that's a good book. And I actually can read a book like that. And it's by a guy named Thom Rainer. And the title of the book is I Am a Church Member, and I actually recommend this to you guys. It's super easy to read through, even in one sitting. It's like six small chapters, very practical, very simply written. But there's some information in there that I'm borrowing on this message. He says, based on our research of 557 churches from 2004 to 2010, 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining, either declining or growing, at a pace that is slower than that of their communities that they're in. Okay? So what that means is that the church is losing ground in general in their communities. This can also be looked at generationally. About 2/3 of the builder generation, are those who were born before 1946, are Christians, or claim to be. Okay? The millennials are the largest generation in America's history with almost 80 million members. Okay? They were those who were born between 1980 and 2000. But we have all but lost them. Now, there's all kinds of things that we can blame this on, the fact that the church is actually losing ground per population around us. And we do blame it on all kinds of things, don't we? We can blame it on secular culture, right? The fact that the breakdown of the family, or Darwinian education, things like this. We can blame it on godless politics, right? If we just get the right dude in office, people are going to become Christians. Not true. Okay? Not true. We're too rich. We're too poor. I mean, it runs gamut of excuses why. But it has been suggested that a good portion of the turnoff from people outside looking into the church these days and not coming in could simply be that when they look into the church, they see a bunch of people who are many times all about themselves, just like anybody else, because we do not have a proper understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Let me explain. We naturally have this idea as human beings of what it means to be a member. Okay, I've recently got a membership to Sage Springs. And I see some of you there. How many of you go to Sage Springs? You know, all right. Yeah, there's quite a few of you. Sage Springs is over here in the resort and a country club area. And we don't go there because we can afford it. Luckily, we have a kid that works for the resort. So we get this family package that's very affordable. Gage is going to the Navy, so he's training swimming. It's the place to go. So we go there. And I know that when I walked into this place, I just simply feel like I don't belong there. That's how nice it is. I feel like I took a wrong turn. You know, and when you walk through, it's just like you would think when you think like country club, you know, high level, spa. And you walk through and it's decorated nice, the lighting, you look into a room and there's people with, you know, the whole deal with towels wrapped on their head and they're getting their toes done. And then the pool there is not just a pool. It's a saltwater pool. So you feel like you've been swimming in the ocean when you get out. You feel all good. And you go to the bathroom, they got this spa. They got this huge spa in the men's bathroom, this jacuzzi, but the whole room is decorated like a Disneyland ride. So you feel like you're like out in the middle of some desert oasis, and there's even stars like twinkling in the ceiling. And then when you get out, there's your towels there, there's water with nice glasses with lemon in the water, and it's just like everything, you're totally pampered. There's coffee, there's men's, people call me Mr. Thompson, all right? So it's like it's a trip being like a member of a place like this. And it's funny because what you think real quick, I think even in early age, is that membership equals perks, right? Membership means perks. Membership means that other people will serve me. It means that I can feel like I'm somebody when I belong to a group or when I'm a member of something. It makes me feel like I'm someone. And basically, if you pay the fee, someone will take care of you. That's kind of our idea. And the bummer is that, and as obvious as it sounds, this is the same understanding that a lot of people have of church membership when they come into the church. It's this idea of entitlement and being taken care of. Okay? When we planted the door, we were anti-transfer growth. And what that means is one of the things that really annoy us, us meaning us pastors, is that when we look around, we see churches being planted, and they don't care where people are coming from to get into their seats. They just are trying to get people into their seats. That's transfer growth. We've got all kinds of musical chairs going on in churches these days where people simply move from one to the next. They're just riding the ride. They're sampling. They're dating, right? They're dating. And they end up, and really what they're looking for is, what's this church going to do for me? Is this something I like? Right? And so we had this policy when we planted the door. As a new church plant, we were able to do this, where we would actually see mature, established believers come in from other churches, we would shake their hand, ask them where they were from, and then tell them to go back. Nicely. Seriously. We were very anti-trans. We're not about numbers. We're not a money machine. Praise God. So all of our choices that we make aren't going through the lens of money. Okay? So we were able to say to some people, go back. And the reason we did that is because a lot of times new believers, guys, the ones who just met Jesus, they're just in love with Jesus. They're in love with the person of Jesus. They're in love with the thought of Jesus. And that's what we came here to do as a church, is to win this part of the world for Jesus Christ. But when mature believers start to come in, not all of them, okay, it's not black or white. We have mature believers that we planted with. But when a lot of them start coming, it's not about that anymore. It's not about how can we win this place for Jesus. It's about why do you do communion that way? Why do you sing those kind of songs instead of those kind of songs? Why do you start your service at 10:30? Why don't you have a full-time pastor that's on staff? That's what everything becomes about a lot of times when you get mature believers that come in. And it gets you off of mission. It gets you off of purpose. And there's this idea of entitlement and what can you do for me? How can you make this the way that I like it? Okay? And that's the ugly reality of it a lot of times. So we were kind of like anti-church growth when we first started. And so membership a lot of times becomes about receiving instead of giving. A lot of times membership becomes about being served instead of serving. It becomes about your rights instead of responsibility. And it becomes about entitlement instead of sacrifices. This is what I will call the Sage Springs membership, church membership. Okay? It is not a biblical one. And so there are a few things here in this text that we can, like I said, we're not going to exposit this text. We're just going to pull a few observations out of this text. I believe they're the main points that Paul's getting at here. Number one, if you belong to Jesus, you are a church member. Let's just get that one out of the way. Okay? You guys thought maybe I was going to go somewhere else. I'm not going to. That's what we believe here. If you belong to Jesus, if you call him your Lord, you've been saved, you've been born again, you are a church member. Okay? And when does that happen? It happens when you are reborn. That's when it happens. In other words, Jesus' church is made up of members only. Members only. Therefore, the church is made up of either obedient members or disobedient members. That's what it is. It's not, are you a member or not a member? It's made up of obedient members and disobedient members. And that is members who are determining to be a part of the body as a whole and serve that body as a whole, and members who are determining to be about themselves rather than the whole. And many of us over the years have viewed church as optional. You ever come across these people who no longer do church? Or they say something like, I'm taking a break from church? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Seriously. That makes absolutely no sense. I'm taking a break from church. And a lot of people do. A lot of people are just casually, you know, a lot of people hit the big ones, Easter, Christmas, you know. They'll show up on a Sunday morning if it works out with their schedule, if they have nothing more important things to do. Right? And we have this very optional view of how we connect to the church. And I don't know who the original guy was that said this, but I've heard it over and over again. This phrase, we need to stop dating the church and we need to marry the church because we are members in Christ. And a lot of people are just dating the church. They're treating it like they're just trying something out to see if there's some compatibility there. And the whole mindset approach is wrong. It's wrong. Because you are already a member of the church in what Christ has made you. Okay? If you got a membership, use it. We were talking this morning with our son. They had gotten memberships a couple years ago. Cody engaged to snowboard at Bachelor. They bought full season passes. Or did we buy those? Oh, that's even worse. We bought full season passes for them and they didn't go. They had this membership up there, this expense, and they never went. Did you guys even go once? I'm not trying to embarrass you, but this is a perfect example. We were just talking, this came up this morning, right? And so if you guys have a membership, okay? And it's a little more important than Mount Bachelor membership, right? There was a high price for that membership, right? There was a price that we couldn't pay to get into this kingdom club, okay? And it cost God his life, the life of his son. It's a little bit important. We need to use our membership that we have, okay? Number two, we find that we are all necessary parts of the whole. We find that verses 14 through 20. Okay? We are necessary parts of the whole. Paul uses here the example of a human body. Okay? We know when we look at our body that we're made up of body parts. Those body parts make up the whole. There's really like an irreducible complexity, right, to the whole of the unit. There's actually this whole thing, this is completely off track. Have you guys ever heard of irreducible complexity? It's a really cool thing that God does throughout his creation. It's one of those things that as we started getting technology that could look farther into the body and how we're created and how life is done, we started being able to look at cells, right? Like life-giving cells that move through the body that we were not previously able to observe and see how they work. And what we started to find is we were able to look into things that are microscopic is that we saw more things that are microscopic. So we're all made up of cells. Cells make us live. They make us breathe. They make our arms move. They make us do everything we need to do to actually have life. But those cells are not independent. They need help to do what they do, to move around the body, to go to where they need to go. And so what they found is they started looking through these microscopes and the microscopes, and they were able to blow all this stuff up and illuminate it, is they found that cells are carried around by flagellum motors. Have you guys ever heard of these things? They're actually little machines that are called flagellum motors, and they get their name, motors, because that's exactly what they look like. If you see a picture of them blown up, they look like a motor. And they consist of no less than 48 separate parts to that motor. Now, let's just think about this for a second. I was public schooled and I dropped out, but I can see the importance of this when it comes to evolution and that whole idea. Evolution teaches you that over long periods of time, something is added that is necessary for the next stage of growth. Right? This flagellum motor has 48 components that all have to be present at once in order for life-giving cells to move around the body. That's called irreducible complexity. There's a complexity in the way we're created in order for life to happen. In other words, it does away with the whole idea of this adding one piece at a time over a long period of time to bring about life. It's impossible. There are complex systems in place that have to be in place all at once for it to exist. Okay? That's one of them. It's a very cool thing. If you haven't seen it, Google it. Look it up. Super cool. Irreducible complexity. Didn't mean to go there, but the point is, God has built the living organism of his church the exact same way. Okay? We are complex in our system, in the components, in the parts that he adds to the church, but it's not meant to be reduced. All of them together make the church what it is. Make the church function like God's intended and designed it to function. You guys with me on that? So we see here that we are all necessary parts of the whole. The third thing that we see here is that we are all necessary in our differences. This one's important for us to get. In other words, we're all necessarily different in the way that God has designed us and placed us in the body. Okay? This is a very cool thing. So he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you here. Right? The eye wouldn't say that to the hand, would it? Because it needs that hand to bring that tasty-looking donut up to the mouth, right? So we need the mouth, too, right, to taste. And then we need the stomach to take that from the mouth and to actually digest it and enjoy. You guys see what we're saying? Those parts that seem indispensable, those less flashy parts that are more modest, right, we need those. They're all interdependent on each other, which is what Paul's talking about here. Okay. As human beings, we tend to look at people, that I don't understand or I don't relate to and distance myself from them automatically because we're not alike. Okay. And a lot of times we'll do this stuff. But according to Paul, that's exactly why we need to connect together with other people that are different, because they have something that we don't and vice versa. In other words, the body of Christ, our differences are our strength. You guys get that? Our differences are our strength in the body of Christ. It's absolutely intentional on God's part. Again, our leadership team is a good example of this. And we do see it in you guys too. We see it in this body. But it's just been really personalized in through our leadership. Here we don't have a senior pastor and then the other guy. Here we have three co-equal pastors. We have a pastoral team. We're all treated the same. We all have the same voice. We all have the same ideas. We all have the same weight that we carry, and it carries checks and balances in this group. We are three very different guys, okay? And at times, we probably get on each other's nerves because we come at things from a slightly different angle. But we all agree at the end of the day when we go to bed that that is our strength as a pastoral unit, is the fact that we are all built differently. God uses that to make something complete. Without that, we would not be complete. So I'm more the mouth, obviously, right? I'm more the visionary. I'm more apostolic with the little a, as far as always wanting to plant a church or go here, do this, what are we doing next? I'm kind of like that guy. Brent's Mr. Stable, right? Which is good. He's consistent. He balances me out there. He's a steady guy, right? And then Jordan is the quiet guy that when something needs to be said right at that moment that neither Brent or I are getting, he's the prophet. He comes in and he just goes, boom, and he just, it comes out. It's like, oh, there's God telling us what to do. Not Jordan, you're not God. I'm getting it wrong. You guys know what I'm saying. There's the voice of God right there, right? And so when you put that together, we're strong because of that. And yeah, there's times where we sit around and go, gosh, I wish that dude wasn't like, she would think this way or do things that way. You know, we do that stuff. But when we look at it honestly and biblically and we stand back away from it, we know that it is intentional on God's part, and it's better. Okay. The body of Christ is exactly the same way. Okay. And I want to also add to this that church membership, according to Paul here, is a functioning membership. It's a functioning membership. A healthy church body isn't healthy just because all the parts are present. You guys understand that? It's not healthy just because all the parts are present. It's healthy because all the parts are present and active and functioning, right? You guys ever got up and tried to walk when your leg's falling asleep? It doesn't work well, right? Your leg's present, but you also need it to be functioning in order for it to be useful. It's the same way in the body of Christ. There's lots of parts all the time that are present in the body of Christ, but sometimes they're never given any room to function. Okay. We want to not be about that here at the door. If you guys haven't figured that out, when you guys have an idea or you're seeing something, we listen to you. And a lot of times we allow you and encourage you to step into those things. We want you to do that. Why do we have young people up here instead of some paid professional doing our music? That's why. That's exactly why. Why do you see different people come through the pulpit? Like next Sunday, you're going to see a new dude come in here and teach. That's why. It's all about training and massaging those gifts, those things, the way that God has built people and allowing them to do that, giving them a platform to walk in those things so that they can grow and mature and so the body can be blessed, right, as a whole. Okay. So church membership is also a functioning membership. Now I want to take this time to just brag on you guys real quick because it would be wrong for me not to. I've been in a lot of churches and I've observed a lot of churches. This body is amazing in the way that it works together, and the way that you guys step up naturally into your gifts and into your callings. We are so strong because of that. A lot of people, even outside the door, say, how did you get that? How did you get that sense of family and community and closeness that you guys have? That's how. It's not by one guy or three guys doing everything. It's by each of you guys walking actively in how God has made you. And we are a strong body for it. We're a healthy body for it. Even with our warts and everything, we're healthy because we're functioning and many parts are together. And so I just want to encourage you guys and say thank you because you guys have made our job so much easier, so much more of a blessing and a privilege and an honor to serve alongside you, not just over you, because of what you guys bring and what you guys walk in. So keep it up. And I want to encourage the rest of you who are just dating the church to start doing the same thing that these guys are doing. All right. So that we can benefit from you and how God has built you. We're not going to ask you guys to sign a piece of paper here. That's not our deal for membership, right? If you're in Christ, you're part of the body. But we are going to constantly encourage you in certain things. Things that we expect, things that we take seriously in order for us to remain a healthy body. You can call them pledges. You can put whatever name on them you want. But I want you guys to consider these things if you call the door of your local church. And if you're going somewhere else, cool. You're a member of the church. You need to be plugged into a local body somewhere. That's the way it works. Here they are. Just consider these. As a member of the body of Christ at the door, seek to be a source of unity in the church. If you call this your home, we want you to do this. All right? If you're a member here at this local congregation, we want you to do this. Seek to be a source of unity in the church. What we put in the body matters. Okay? That donut I talked about earlier, it's going to be delicious at first, but it's going to be the crash that comes after, and my whole body's going to feel the effects of that. Okay? The whole body is going to feel the effects of that. What we put into the body matters. Okay? So don't put bad junk into the body. Okay? That's what we're asking. Gossip, bitterness, anger, negativity, competition, that prideful stuff that comes with that, envy, whatever. That stuff that's going to hurt the whole body if you take it in. So please don't put that stuff in the body here. We don't need it. We have enough troubles without that stuff, right? If we put good things into the body, opposite end of the spectrum, the body's going to be healthy. Everybody's going to benefit from it. And that's exactly where Paul's going to go next as he moves into chapter 13. A lot of times we take the love chapter and we just apply it to the married couple during a marriage, or we apply it to the couple that's having troubles, and that's fine. It works there. But if you look at this, Paul wrote the love chapter in the context of the body of Christ. So the lifeblood of a healthy body is love. That's the lifeblood of a healthy church body. Secondly, as a member of the body of Christ at the door, I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires. This one's going to be hard. You guys are going to have to check yourselves on this every day. I have to check myself on this one every day. It's not about me. It's not about my preferences. It's not about my desires. It's about Him being glorified and His work being done. All right? That's what this is about. As a member of the body of Christ at the door, I will seek opportunities to walk in my gifts. We already talked about this one. And there are opportunities, and we will give you guys room. We may not agree to everything or just let you do what you want, but we want to hear and we want to deploy you into action in your gifting. Okay? As a member of the body of Christ at the door, I will pray for my pastors every day. I'm not saying that because I'm selfish. I'm saying that because we desperately need it. Desperately. Are you guys doing this every day? As a member of the body of Christ at the door, I will lead my family to be good members of the church as well. This is important because a lot of times we take care of ourselves. Oh, what my kids do is their thing. Nah, you are responsible over your house. All right. So when you hear your kids saying things they shouldn't be saying about the church, that's your cue. Okay? It's your cue to bring them along in the mindset that Christ would have them have towards His bride, toward the body of Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ at the door, I will see my membership as a gift, not an entitlement, as a gift. And like we said earlier, it is a gift because none of us paid for our membership. Jesus paid for our membership. It came at a high price. It came at a price that we could not pay. There's no way we could enter this club that we're in if it wasn't for God initiating a rescue plan through His Son. So people may say, how do I become a member of the body of Christ? You fall on your knees at the foot of the cross and you receive the gift freely that Jesus presents to you. We are saved and justified by the work and person of Jesus Christ, not by anything you can bring, anything you can pull out of your wallet or your bank account. Do you understand? Jesus paid it all. And that's what makes us members. That's what makes us worthy. That's what allows us to come into the presence of God and be called a child of God. We're kingdom members because Jesus bled and rose, right? And so it is our job to take our membership as a privilege, to be grateful for what we are, and to use our membership well because of that, all right? We got time. Maybe we'll run for maybe like 10 minutes. We'll take a few questions real quick. Concerning this guy. So, and then next week we won't be in Corinthians, but the following week we'll continue. Okay. So Brent and Jordan, why don't you guys come up here real quick? And Russ texted me a question this morning because he loves church membership. He knew I was going to teach on this. And so he like literally texted me a question. So I'm going to read that for you. Does membership in the church make believers more accountable? Go for it.
I mean, it should. That's one of the things that helps us out as pastors is, especially when you've got, you know, three of us and as many people are sitting out here, it helps us to know, who our sheep are, who's actually in our pen, and who's kind of not. And David kind of touched on that. There's a lot of people that kind of like to come and get the benefits of the church, but they really stay on the outsides and they don't really kind of get in the pen. And for us, you know, it's helpful to know who's committed, who's really in, who's kind of under the authority of us and who's, you know, stepped into that. So it should bring accountability and it helps us to know really, because we're going to stand before God one day and have to give an account for how we shepherded. So knowing who our sheep are and who really aren't is quite helpful for us, I think.
Do you want to add to that?
I don't have a whole lot, but yeah, I think that, you know, in my history, I've had times where I've kind of bounced around trying to find a place to be. And, I know the struggle of dealing with differences in ideas theologically or the things that can get under our skin. But I have had a conviction, and my wife have for a lot of years, of the need to be a part of the body and be accountable to other people. And I just think that it's a hard challenge to basically get in and be in a tighter community or get closer with people, because as soon as you do, it's like, you know, like any relationship, when we get real with people, it gets ugly. It's inevitable. And I think that the thing that will help us to overcome that is the gospel in each other's lives, and that being the connecting point, that we're connecting at the point of our weaknesses rather than our strengths. Like, we're recognizing that we all have those, and we can just be real and connect and at that level around the gospel, rather than having to, you know, keep people at arm's length and kind of play it safe. I think that it's, you know, in my history, going to larger churches and things, it can be really easy to just kind of be a part of a church and just like play it so safe, sit in the back. And I'm kind of that guy. But you can kind of feel like you're a part of something and yet not be, and no one know you. And, I think it's important to be plugged in, to be connected with other believers and in fellowship and in accountability. And so that's that idea for me of membership, is that we connect somewhere, and every church has its things. You know, it's a struggle. The church is made up of people, and so it's always going to be messy, and that's going to pose a lot of challenges, especially if you're an idealistic person like me. It's honestly been the struggle of my life. And here I am. But it's an important thing.
We got time for a couple more.
Well, you talk about body parts. I think I'm connected to the colon somewhere there at the end.
I think you are too.
There's a something that's been going on with me, so I'll frame my question in the form of a feeling that I have and have been struggling with quite a bit, and that's love. And if we love selflessly and fully everybody else before ourselves, wouldn't you say that that would pretty much wipe out any of the other issues that we might have in church?
Jesus would agree with that.
It's easy to say.
Yes. Yes.
Very good point. And again, we're going to get into that next time.
Oh, I do.
You can hear me twice as loud.
Okay, so if we don't have a paper to sign and there's no roll call, how do you know who consider themselves to be members?
That's a good question. For me personally, it's like we talked about earlier. Membership is a functioning membership. So as a believer, the ones that I would consider actually plugged into the door, as a pastor here, and what I see are the ones that are actively plugged in. They're the ones who are serving. They're the ones who are doing things. They're the ones who have a life and a pattern that shows a commitment to Christ's body here. And so it's more, you know, we could have people sign things and it doesn't make people more committed. I mean, that's really what the law was. You know, you can have people be moral and do things that live in a way that God's asked them to live, but it doesn't change what's going on in their heart. It doesn't make them any more committed, honestly. And it just makes people, you know, active. And so we've talked about it and labored over actually what if we would have a formal membership, you would call it, and whatnot, for that very reason. it doesn't make a lot of sense. So the ones that I really consider like members here, there's people that show up, you know, regularly all the time, but they're the ones that are plugged in to just the life of the church in some way. It doesn't look any one way, but they're the ones who are showing that this is my home.
I know I do appreciate, and I've appreciated this as a pastor and as a just a fellow church member, is just a verbal acknowledgement from my fellow believers that they've got me, that they're with me, that they're, you know, and we do that for you guys. We love it when you do it for us. I mean, just letting each other know how committed we are to each other. I mean, Sam mentioned it this morning during the sharing time, how much this body means to him, how this is just, this community means everything to him. He just, you know, that's a member. You know, he made it clear that he's in it for us. We're in it with him, and he knows that, and there's that kind of mutual understanding. So verbalizing that is a great thing. It doesn't have to be a formal thing, but just letting people know around you, hey, I've got you. If you need me, I'm there for you. That understanding is huge.
This is a topic that really touches my heart about the body of Christ, because, you know, being a member is, you know, we can think of it as a membership kind of thing, but I think of it as the way you just presented it and the word. We are all members of the body, and when a body part is missing or it's not functioning, it affects the whole body. And it's more normative, I think, for the U.S. church to think of itself as, what did I get out of the message today? How did I, you know, how was the worship for me? And kind of go away with that consumer mindset. But if we were intentionally wanting to shift from that to, okay, how do I really fit in to the body, and how would I start to identify and start functioning in serving as who I am? Are there at the door some practical ways that you see to encourage people to actually become those body parts, to identify and actually take ownership of that?
Right. Does my answer that one? We need to, it's helpful for us to know. And that usually happens two ways. Either someone will come up and say, I'm feeling that I need to do this. But what seems to almost be more common is we start seeing people naturally, organically start doing those things on some level that they feel led to, that God has brought them here for. And then we acknowledge them in that and encourage them in that. So it's something that happens. It's not formal the way it happens, I would say. It's very natural the way that has happened at the door, with people coming in, being gifted, and then them just starting to move into that gifting somehow. So we have people all the time planning things, creating things, getting people together for certain things without permission. Now, there are some things that we want to have run by us. That's part of our job, is to make sure we don't got some kind of kookiness going on. But so there's got to be that checks and balances. God's given us to the church for that reason. But we're not here to lord over everything. We're really here to help you guys walk in those things that you're naturally prone to walk in, because that's how God's built you. So I would say it happens very naturally for the most part.
I think one of the greatest opportunities that we have to discover those gifts within each other is small group settings. When real community is happening, that's where you start to get to know each other. That's when you start to see, you recognize needs and you're compelled to do something about them. That's your area of giftedness almost always. The areas where you find that you're most critical about in the church, most likely that's your area of giftedness. The reason that you want to complain about it so much and you see so many problems with it is because God's prompting you to do something.
You think you can do it better?
Some people are just critical, so it doesn't mean everything you're critical about. You know, some of you are just negative. No, but I mean, the small group setting is one where organically it really does start to happen. You start to see gifts in other people. You start to meet needs. The other thing I would say, Doug, and this is just huge, and I remember having a conversation with a young person one time about the mindset we come to church with. If we come with a consumer mindset, what can I get today? What am I going to, you know, I hope somebody fills me up. I hope somebody does something for me, as opposed to, what can I do today when I show up? Who can I bless? Who can I serve? Who can I love? If we all came with that mindset, and really, you know, there's some weeks where, I mean, last week's a great example. I came with nothing in my tank, you know, and I apologize. But I just had nothing in my tank that week. And to show up with that, sometimes you need people to pour into you. So it's both. But when you come with that mindset of, who can I love today? Who can I just bless today? You know, and you're looking for those opportunities, what a difference that would be. So
we could do like one more, I think, and then we got to.
Yeah. So I had a pretty big question, which goes right along with what Doug was saying. People ask me all the time, why do you drive 30 minutes to go to church? I mean, we have plenty of churches here that you could plug into. My response is, you know, I felt, a friend of mine invited me to his wedding, and I felt called to be here. they say, well, what is that? And they get it. Some people don't. But the big question I have is from them is, well, what's the range of your church? How far out do they go? And I said, how far out does God go? I mean, we've got Luke at basic training. We've had missionaries. So what is a great answer to that question other than, hey, God told me to come here and I'm not going anywhere until God tells me to go somewhere else. So that's a tough one because they feel like I'm not being loyal, I guess, for lack of a better word. So I'm just wondering, what is our take on our radius, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, you're not being loyal.
How dare you?
I don't even know if there's not an answer for that. I really believe that believers, that God puts us where we belong. And so I believe that a lot of times where we're at, that's exactly our mission field. That's where, and so it's important, I think, to be real effective is to be ministering in the community that God has placed me in. Just natural relationships, the way that happens. But God doesn't, he's not formulaic. He does things however he wants. And there's times where he moves people around to accomplish his purposes. And again, we're talking about outfitting the body with many parts, many functions to create one unit. And so God will bring those parts from wherever he needs to bring them to make create a complete organism. So I try not to question that one. I believe it really comes down to, I mean, you honestly examining yourself, why you're doing what you're doing, and what God would have you do, and then being honest with that, with carrying that out. If God's leading you to come here from Redmond, then that's what he's doing. I mean, who am I to say he's not? But there's a general rule that where we're at, God usually has us there for a reason. So
I think that being a part of a church community is such an important part of our, you know, just like David's message would say, it's such an important part of our walk as believers that we need to do whatever it takes to be a part of a community where we're connecting, where we're being fed, where Christ is being exalted, where the gospel is being proclaimed. I don't want to be in a church where they're not proclaiming Christ. I don't want to go to it because they say they're a church and Jesus Christ isn't mentioned, or a bunch of other doisms and morality things are mentioned, but Christ isn't proclaimed. So if I'm in an area where that isn't existent, then I need to move my family to where there is one, or I need to plant a church, or something needs to happen. And so to me, if we find a place where we're growing and we're part of that community, then if we had to drive 3 hours to be part of that, then we need to, you know what I mean? So too many people are like, there's not a church, or I have these disagreements. And it's like, well, move somewhere then, because this isn't a trivial thing. Like, you need to be a part of the body. And so, you know, if we got to drive for however long to do it, then sure, so be it.
Okay. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up.
One last thing. You heard it said that to those who have much, much is expected, and it doesn't always just mean financial. Sometimes you may have a lot of spiritual gifts, and we're all bought and paid for when we accept Jesus. He shed his blood for us, and if you have those spiritual gifts, you need to get up. And like David, he has much, and he didn't necessarily plan on being a preacher, but he was led in that way, just all three of these gentlemen up here. And they know what's expected of them, and they're not going to let their spiritual gifts go to waste for that blood that was given for them. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, don't hold back. If you have you have those gifts and can give to this body, you've got to step up when you feel that need, and the Holy Spirit will let you know, hey, you got to take this on. So it isn't easy being a Christian. That's the toughest thing. I said that before when I first came in here. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. But we have a lot of young people that have taken that on, and I wished I would have when I was a young person. I'd have saved myself a whole lot of grief in my life. But it's all worked out, and the prize at the end is it makes it all worth it.
Thanks.
That's all I got to say, amen.
Cool. What we got today is the Lord's table we're going to take. So basically, this is a reminder of our membership and what makes us worthy to belong to the kingdom of God. And so I would encourage you guys to come this morning with a grateful heart that your membership's been paid for at a high cost. This is not about you either. And Brent preached on this a couple weeks ago.